Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. How many remember heat waves from this last summer? A couple of days in a row, 90 degrees. Hard to imagine perhaps right now, but there was a Tuesday morning. It had been 90 degrees a couple of days before heat index into the hundreds. It had rained that night, and by morning it was just a drizzle. When I stepped out to take my run, it felt like a steam bath. I was going to take a run and then go play a little racquetball. And my body said to my mind, you know, you're going to be playing racquetball. You really don't need to be taking a run this morning. And I thought, yeah, you know, maybe just a little bit of a run, not the whole way. But then something else started kicking in and it said, you know, the East Berlin 5K is coming up in just a couple of weeks. This would be the perfect weather for training for that event. I said, yeah, and I was kind of arguing with myself back. You ever have those kind of discussions with yourself? Part of you, you know, the angel and the devil going at it, and I'm not sure which one was which voice on this particular morning. But then another voice kicked in, and it said, oh, yeah, I tell you what, why don't you just forget it all? Why don't you just go ahead, call the brethren home and make a reservation for yourself. Maybe you're all done right now. Or why don't you just go back to bed and on your way, pick up your blankie and your pacifier and you just crawl in and be nice and comfortable this morning. Why mess with all that working out stuff after all? Well, I want to ask you a question today. What kind of a Christian have you become? What kind of a Christian have you become? Have you answered the call to discipleship? Are you all in? Or have you made a series of compromises that brought your life to a place where nobody could really tell the difference between you and somebody who doesn't follow Jesus at all? Have you watered it down and backed off to the point where, why don't you just go back to bed, get your blankie and your pacifier? Oh, woe is me, I've got too much trouble of my own to worry about serving the Lord. Is your spiritual life wimpy, wimpy, wimpy? Or is it hefty, hefty, hefty? How many are young enough not to know what that means? Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. Father, joy, time is flying by. It won't be long until we're going to give an account. Lord, we want to be ready. We have this propensity in us to dumb ourselves down, to give ourselves excuses, to back off. The Bible warns us about drifting away. Oh, God, help us to stay tied to you, to have you in us, in us, in you. Abide, Lord, in one another. It makes more sense to be ready now than it ever did before, because we're closer to that day, to that moment, than ever we were in all of our life. So today I pray you kind of get the billows out, Holy Spirit, and blow that air, those embers into a flame once again. May we be true disciples indeed of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I picked up a book a couple of months ago. In fact, the district had sent one to us. And after I read the first couple of pages, I said, aha, that's the next Sunday morning series that we're going to work on together. The title is Follows, written by Brian Koch and Daniel McNaughton, two pastors that got together. And they said, you know, we hear a lot of talk about discipleship. But what is discipleship? When can a person say, I've been discipled? Jesus said, go and make disciples of all men. Well, how do I know I've been made into one? What are the steps necessary? And so they brainstormed together and they did some research and they came up with a couple of qualities that really need to be true about a person if they're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. So I hope you share my enthusiasm in finding out what this is all about. And with the exception, next week we'll be talking about Thanksgiving, of course. But for the next month or two, we're going to talk about the elements that go into being a disciple. Am I a disciple? Am I a good disciple of Jesus Christ? What would I have to communicate to somebody else in order to help them come along and be a follower of Jesus Christ? So this is our new series. And it's born out of a heart, a feeling that the church in general, not just our church, but church in general, has become too soft. We've expected far too little out of ourselves. And now it's time. It's time to take responsibility, to put into practice all the things we say that we believe. It's time to leave our excuses, our failures, our sins, and our compromises, pick up our cross, and follow Jesus Christ. Go after Him. Not everyone's going to join us, of course, but it's not a question of how many, but rather of how much. How dedicated are you to this path? Have you decided to follow Jesus? Not just pray a sinner's prayer, not just allow Him to forgive your sins, not just allow Him to keep blessing you with everything from good health to a nice house to a Maserati in the driveway. Lord, I'm going to allow You to be my God. I'm going to allow You to keep taking. Oh, isn't that nice of you? Have you now turned the corner and decided, I'm going to follow Jesus? I'm going to find out what that means, and then I'm going to do it. Will you follow Him to the hurting and the broken, to the lost and the lonely? Will you follow Him while others laugh, while some even boo? Jesus said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Whoever. It's the same ticket for everybody. There are no coupons. There are no discounts. There are no halfways. How much of a disciple do you want to be? Well, I don't know. Let's take it easy for a while. Give me 20%. Give me 20%. We'll see how that works, and then maybe I can. No, that's not how discipleship works. And what would a disciple look like and act like and sound like? A friend of mine was sharing this morning that his therapist, as he got in a conversation with him, found out he's a Christian. But boy, you couldn't tell it by the language the fellow was using, by the things he was talking about, by the shape his life was in. He talked about some of his life circumstances and all. You got to scratch your head and say, what's a Christian doing there? What's a Christian doing? Oh, but I'm a Christian. What makes you a Christian? Did you get a little tattoo when you were born? Did you get one of those chips in your neck like we do with the dogs? Can't get lost. He's one of the Lord's. Are you a Christian because you say you're a Christian? What makes you a believer, a follower of Jesus Christ? You're either all in or need not apply. Ray and Cindy's son, Tim, 29 years old, he felt compelled, convicted of the Holy Spirit to join the army. Join the army at 29. He had a wife and several young children at home. But still, this was strong. So he went to the recruiter's office and he said, okay, here's the deal. I want to join the army, but I've got a wife and I've got some small kids at home. So here's the deal. I need to be home by 5 every night. I want to live near extended family so they can help with all the family situations that might come up. And no, he didn't do that. It was the other way around. The recruiter said, okay, you need to go home and discuss this because you're not going to see your family for 6 weeks after you enlist. And after that, we're going to send you off to school. And then when you're done with your training, I can't promise you where you're going to end up. This is the life. If you sign on the dotted line, this is what you can expect. I'm not going to paint for you a different picture. Went home, they prayed about it, and they felt that, no, that God is in this. God wants us to do this. Sometimes God opens up some pretty strange doors. The U.S. Army doesn't make excuses. They don't take exceptions. And neither does Jesus. Well, Lord, you know, I'd really surrender to you if this wasn't going on right now. Let me get this cleared up first. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Whoever wants to. We're not going to make you. If we could make you, we would. We can't, so we won't. You have to want to. And that there's a big day in every person's life when they have to decide. Some of us were raised in church and we were brought along and we learned all the Sunday school lessons and we sang all the songs and so on. But there came a day when we decided, I'm too big for mom and dad to drag to church against my will anymore. Do I want to or don't I want to? What happens then? Some of us are here because we have to be. I don't want to go to hell. So what do I have to do? But it's so much better when you grow and mature to the place where, you know what? I've seen the other side. I've tasted the world. I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I have decided that's the best life there is. That's where the good stuff is. I want to follow Jesus. I think if you have to follow Jesus, I think he'd probably tell you, don't bother. But if it becomes a desire, a burning, a passion, something worth dying for, then you're ready. Because dabbling Christians are turning the church into a spa. Anybody can join. Live as you please. We wouldn't ask you to change a thing. Love you just the way you are. We just want to make you comfortable and happy. Our new theme verse for our church is, God just wants you to be happy. We haven't figured out where that's located in the Bible just yet, but we hear it so often it must be Scripture. And please, if there's anything I say or if there's anything we do that upsets you in any way, please let us know. We will make whatever adjustments to our preaching, our teaching, and the things that we do just to make sure you're comfortable and you're happy. From now on, we're going to be guided by the principle of how many likes we receive on Facebook. No. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves. Deny myself what? Are you talking about caffeinated coffee? No. Deny yourself. That fleshly nature, that rebellious core, my sinful, selfish bend. Well, I don't want to get baptized because, well, it really messes my hair up. I'll become a member, but I don't want to tithe because, well, dude, that costs money. I like to shake hands and be friendly stuff, but don't sign me up for a class because then they'll expect me to be there. I just kind of like being a free agent kind of Christian. And if the Spirit so moves me, I'll come to your church. And if the Spirit so moves me, I'll go to their church. And if the Spirit doesn't move me at all, I'll just stay in bed for a little while. I like that. You're putting self in front of Jesus. Happily, you'll give Jesus whatever's left over at the end of the week, if that ever happens, that there's something left over. The first step to discipleship is to sign on that dotted line, recognizing you are no longer yours. You no longer belong to yourself. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. Take up your cross. Each of us has a unique cross to bear. Mine is not like yours. Yours is like no one else's. Your cross. Some days, the cross is heavier than others. Some days, following Jesus is much more difficult than other days. Some days, it's an absolute breeze and delight. But it's your cross for your day. And I want to be careful here, because if you're down in the valley right now and your cross is really heavy, I don't want to pile on. I don't want to make it miserable for you. I don't want you to feel guilty at all today. Guilt is not what we are directed. We're directed by the conviction of the Holy Spirit, but not by guilt. There's a difference there. I was sitting in the TV room with my wife this week, and the one evening she was saying, "Joel, you know, it's getting really hard. I'm doing the best that I can. But I feel so, there are things I want to do around here. There are things I want to do. And I just, she's in chronic pain all the time. Her disabilities are mounting up. They're just being compiled." And she said, "You know, sometimes Christians are the worst, because they have expectations. And preachers are worse than Christians." Because they preach like we're all a bunch of lazy bums, and don't you know, I'd do more if I could. So I don't want to pile on if you're having trouble, if you're having pain right now. I do want to encourage you to push through and to be obedient to God where you're at. You can't live somebody else's life. You can't do what they do. That's understood. And it would be the enemy that would come by and torture you with what you can't do. You are not responsible for what you cannot do. Amen. But we are responsible for what we can do. I remember it was years ago. Let's see. Kayla's 29 right now. So it's 29 years ago. When Kayla was born, my wife suffered from postpartum depression. That poor girl, she lost weight. It was scary. It was scary. And Kayla was an eater, and Kayla had colic. So Kayla never slept. And so Barb would breastfeed during the day, and I would bottle feed during the night. And so a good portion of the night, I was up rocking the baby and feeding the baby. And we went back to the doctor, and the doctor looked at Barb, and he said, "Dear, you're exhausted. You're exhausted. You poor thing, you need help." And he looked at me and he said, "You're just going to help more." And my bottom lip began to quiver and the tears started to come. And my wife looked over and she put her hand on my shoulder. "You know, it's okay. I can't do anymore. I'm doing the best I can." And if that's you right now, thank God I'm not there. Hallelujah. "I slept really good last night." But if you're the one with the insomnia, or you're the one taking care of the child, or you're the one that's taking care of the parent, or your job just has you, boom. I am not here to pile on, okay? There are days that survival is victory. That you got from morning till evening, that you got from evening till morning, you did well. There are times in all of our lives when that is true. There's some of it, you'll ask, "How you doing?" "I'm hanging in there." God bless you. Keep hanging. Sometimes that's all. But you'll find that even in the middle of hanging on, as my wife was saying the other night, she said, "But you know, Joel," she said, "I am ministering to other people." Just last night, middle of the night, I woke up, I heard her on the telephone in the other room. I have no idea what time it was. I had stayed up till 8:30 myself, but I have no idea what time of night or morning that was that she had, but she was talking to somebody, ministering to them, helping them get through the night. As I've mentioned to you before, many of these chronic pain patients are all alone. The rest of the family have left them, and they're just trying to get through the night. And that's Barb's ministry. I don't want that ministry. can't really do it very well. But she's available. That's what's in the middle of. And she's worried that other people will look and they don't see what she's doing. That's okay. And we don't see what you're doing or what you're going through. So I would not be the preacher to sit up here and say you're not serving, because I have no idea. Some of you are taking, like I said, taking care of parents, kids. You have no idea. God bless you. This is a personal thing between you and God. It's not between you and I. Are you following Jesus where you're at in the life that you have right now? Are you going after the Lord? I kind of like my cross most days. I have a particular family, some special needs, some special talents and gifts. I thought I was going to end up pastoring near my extended family. That didn't happen. But I like where God's called me. I really appreciate you folk. And I really like that Mustang jacket. That's really, really good. But everybody has their own cross. I have friends who serve around the world, some in remote villages, some in Muslim cities, Europe, Africa, Asia, the Middle East, South America, and some have transferred from one continent to another. We had a couple on a Wednesday night not too long ago, the Barners, Kevin and Sandy. We went to Bible college together. Their first stop on the mission field was in Russia, Moscow. They were there for a number of years. They learned Russian, so could speak English and Russian. And then they were transferred, I think it was to Thailand. There's a difference, between Russia and Thailand. Climate, if nothing else. And now they were transferred Eurasia up north of Russia. It's really bitter cold up there most parts of the year. They left their parents to go to the mission field. Their kids left them along the way. Got older and grew up and got their own lives. Their son now lives in Australia, and their daughter lives in Scotland. And they're up there in the frozen north. I look at people like that, and I think to myself, weepy, weepy, weepy. You look at people in other countries who decide to serve Jesus, they lose their house. They get ostracized by their family. They lose their job. I look at my life and I say, weepy, weepy, weepy. But that's not my cross. That's not my call. What I do is not your call, not your cross. You have your own. And I think you would agree with me. Some days your cross is kind of light and you enjoy it and woohoo. And other days you're not sure you can get out of bed and take another step. None of us has room to feel like we sacrifice too much for the cause of Christ, especially when we look at these other people. You might think that if all of us were following Jesus, we'd all live the same life. But that's just not true. Each one of us has a different skill set and a different call that's unique to us. You will not do what I do. I will not do what you do. We cannot be measured one against the other. It will suit you, but note it's your cross. It doesn't fit me. Now, this is a different word picture from take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's different, isn't it? How does that fit together then with take up your cross and follow me? Is God bipolar? Does it depend on what day it is? Same God, same call, different perspective. What angle are you looking at it from? If you're looking at the call of God as something you can compromise with and say, Lord, we'll just wait a little bit. When this is cleared up, then I'll come. He said, uh-uh. If you want to follow me, you have to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. If you have done that, maybe you're like me. I keep waiting for this great sacrifice I'm going to do for God. I'm going to give until it really hurts. And no matter what I do, I find a blessing in it. I find I cannot give God. Okay, God, I moved away from home. Okay, God, I did it. Okay, God, I did it. But you know what? Feels okay. Feels all right. We can do this thing together, you and I. You have to be willing to come to the cross. And then you find a yoke partner who helps to pull the load. Before then, you tried to live your life well. You tried to do right. You tried to make everything work out, and it just kept getting messed up. But when you surrendered to God, you did things you never thought you could or would. But you know what? Life's going okay. Everything that I need, I have. God is supplying all along the way. There is, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And then there's the cross. And some days, you get a little bit of both, don't you? Some days it's so glorious to be serving the Lord, you're just jumping out of your skin. And other days you find yourself going through some doors you never thought as a believer you would have to face. You never pictured yourself as a widow. You never pictured yourself as a divorcee. You never pictured yourself out of work. You never pictured yourself injured. But here you are. Lord, what's my cross today? What's my cross today? How would you have me respond to this now? So you may be grieving the loss of all that was familiar to you in order to embrace an adventure. I'm calling you to the mission field. I don't want to leave home. Do you trust me? Yes, then take the next step. Do the next thing I call you to. The key is to understand it's no longer your choice, but His. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. I'll be what you want me to be. You've prayed a sinner's prayer. You invited Jesus into your heart. Maybe your prayer included lordship too. Maybe it didn't. But the Lord only has one standard. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. Are you willing to lay it all down? Are you willing to give it all up? If you do, you will find a life that you didn't know existed. You'll have a joy, a peace, a settledness God will bring about. But if you keep trying to say, well, but I need to do this and I want to do that and I got to make sure and everybody's expecting this and that. It's going to be a mess until you bring it to the altar. It's all yours, Lord. You have every failure, as the song says. You have every victory. I put it in your hands. So this is the great adventure. The ship is ready to sail. On board are all those who are willing to follow Jesus. You in? You ready to get on board? The rest of our text lets us know there's no tiered system here where you can sign up for salvation only. Well, let me be saved for a while and then I'll choose discipleship later. Maybe I can follow Jesus at another time, but for right now, I just want to make sure my sins are forgiven. I'm on my way for it. There's no choice like that. It's not a la carte. If you want to follow Jesus, you have to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Him. put self first and lose everything. Put Jesus first and find life now and forever. After all, what good is it if you should gain the whole world but lose your soul? So Brian and Daniel put together a little creed, something we can refer back to during this journey through discipleship. What would be the things we would pledge to God? And here's what they came up with. I have decided to follow Jesus. I believe that He is God in the flesh, and I have received Him as my personal Lord and Savior. Having entered into a restored relationship with my Heavenly Father, the Creator Himself, I will commit to spending time with Him daily. I know a lot of people are getting off the boat right now. I will listen carefully for His voice each day as I allow Him to use me as a conduit of healing for others. I will pay attention to how the Holy Spirit will direct me to influence others toward Jesus, and I will make loving God and loving others my highest priorities. I commit to growing in continual communion with the Father through prayer, and I give permission to the Holy Spirit to direct me in how I manage my time, my talent, and my treasure. In doing these things, I choose to seek God and His kingdom first, believing that He will provide for the other concerns of my life. I also accept the charge to now give it all away, realizing that I am commissioned to make disciples and offer spiritual coaching to others. Choosing to follow Jesus will be my daily decision and my lifelong pursuit. Choosing to follow Jesus will change everything. Amen. Are you ready to sign on the dotted line? Would you stand with me this morning? Let it be Jesus.